I'm here to help you with your Optivity Telephony Manager, OTM. With OTM, you'll be able to administer phones on your PBX. There is another product called Pilot, and with that, you'll be able to administer your voicemail. And correct me if I'm wrong, John, I believe we're here to do both, or just the OTM?
Well, we're today and Friday both, I think.
Okay. Is it today and Friday or Thursday?
No, Friday. It's a
Mac calendar. Get out my old-fashioned steam-generated scheduling program.
I know that because I've got Westbury in. For AB, for Tuesday, for Wednesday, Thursday.
For my mom also confirms, right? So I don't remember to Thursday. That's fine. Call Pilot is primarily HTTP based. And OTM is client application based. So the Call Pilot we can actually administer from anywhere. We wouldn't need this box. The LTM, in contrast, the product that administers phones, has some stored databases on its PC, which we've set up prior to the screen also. And it's those databases which we access in order to administer the PBX. So the format of this these 2 days, we've got 4 hours apiece, and what I would like to do is introduce OTM. I'd like to introduce the application, how to access it, and I'm going to slant the training for you guys. So I'm not going to treat you like people who are in HR. I'm not going to show you all the little window tricks. I'm going to show you the nitty-gritty, how to get into it, how to break it, how to fix it. You guys will figure out the rest. I'm going to assume all that background. Then I'm also going to spend perhaps an hour or less introducing the Call Pilot application. And since that's HTTP based, you'll pick it up a lot faster. It's basically web page. You understand the concept of voicemail, I'll refine them for you, in specifics of Call Pilot. And Don and I have set up the 2 days of training so that you guys can administer a few things on your own, try to use it, and when it comes time for Friday, I'll be simply showing you advanced techniques, advanced problems, and then you'll be able to get into the application and understand it a little bit deeper. And after that, hopefully you'll have the tools to be able to use it. So we'll be spending perhaps a quarter of the time to a third of the time with Call Pilot, because we pick it up that much quicker. OTM is built using Visual Basic 3.0, so hence the windows are going to be, it looks like, it's got modern compiling programs, but you'll be able to recognize, hey, this looks like, you know, something a little bit more archaic, so it's not HTTP, so you'll be able to go in there using your traditional Windows 2.1 tools. So
slide that over too.
There you go. Okay, so with the OTM application has been loaded on this machine. It's not a very difficult application to load if you require to load it again. The user database for login name and password authenticates to the local Windows NT user database. So users that can authenticate and log into this machine can also log into Windows. It doesn't have a separate username database. Those were only our previous versions. So there is a local administrator, and there's also a username called phone1. And the password is Optivity.
Does it matter what username you log in with, or does it sound new to the
system? I could set up a username and password now, and within Windows, and then I can log into OTM after that. Yes. So the first screen that we get here is a bit of nagware, and it's telling us that our licenses have exceeded. You are now in violation of your license agreement. When I see this message, I just can't sleep. I'm just so nagged that I can't work for the rest of the day. Please contact your vendor to get more licenses. So this will still allow us to use the program in its entirety. There will be no problem with us going on. We may have 101, 102. John, something for us to look into later on. Basically, it's telling us under help about it. That we're using 160 of them. This includes the TLM
systems. Does it mean anything to you?
Terminal numbers, this would be one terminal number would be associated with one phone cell.
Okay.
So right now we're using 160 of 100. And there's some consumed here in the sample set, which we can delete and probably nag where we're going. How many phones do we roughly have in this building?
140.
Okay.
I guess the question I would have is why?
Why wasn't it
right now?
And that was something to pursue. Yeah. That way you wouldn't have that same nag and catatonic state.
Your TN license.
Correct. TN licenses for LTM. Loading in a new key code is an XX master secret. I don't remember how many next, but female that's like 3 years. One question, do my stupid stories get recorded here too? Okay, so I better refrain from doing
it. It's okay.
It won't get a wise decision.
It'll be okay. Okay. So we've logged into OTM, and we are in the OTM Navigator. Now for you guys, if you were going to pass this job on to someone else, and you were going to be second level support, one of the most common problems that people run into is understanding which window they're going to be in. This is the OTM Navigator. I'm going to take you to the next window just to impress upon you the similarity of the windows. Just some quick glance, you see, oh yeah, well this OTM Navigator file that view maintenance configuration security, file view maintenance configuration systems, it looks very similar. And so what's important to remember is that we need to look at the window label. Just remember, I'm slanting this for you guys. It's not a hand-holding sort of thing. I'm telling you the highlights of everything. Mm-hmm. Within the OTM Navigator, we can enter in the system window, which I just clicked on. And that will administer 100% of everything you need to do this program. So out of this entire interface, what are you going to be doing here? You'll be clicking on the system window so that you can administer all the phone sets. 100% of the time. Now, you'll ask me, Dave, why do I have to sift through this whole tree just to get to this one window? And the answer to that question would be, this program is built for multi-site administration. If I wanted to have 7 sites or 107 sites, I would build them here in a tree, and then I could click on each individual site. Another customer that I have uses OTM to its fullest, Scotiabank, and they have 107 sites. And so then they have to scroll through their list, and they have centralized management for all the faults. They hire a few OTM administrators that do it this full time, and they change keys, they change features, and so on and so forth. Here we're just using one site, and the PBX system window is the only icon we use built for. There are a few other features which may interest you here. Within the services container, IP telephony, ITV, IP phones, ISDN IP trunks. These would be one-time use installation programs that I would be working with, or you could use to view the states when we install that component. So for example, if you guys do have IP phones, I would be in there and I would configure the IP phone environment to suit your customer network, and then you would use the IP phones. But this is not for anything else other than maintenance. So really the services for Tigger is not really required. There's a system in Nova Tide, Tom's Road. Also contained in the sites is a sample site. And what it tries to do is show you how other customers may configure their environments, how their phones get programmed, what keys do they use on their phones, just to give you an idea. It's really there for no other reason other than to show you what you can do with your browser. If you're concerned with backing up the OTM databases, there'd be a backup. Essentially what it does is it gathers all the different databases and creates a zip file for you. Corporate directory. This allows you, if your phone sets permit, to run a report on all of your names and numbers and push the report down to your phone sets. So you can actually hit a couple of buttons on your sets and, oh yeah, that's what John's number is. And then it'll dial for you. So look up directory. That's set defense. I believe 3904 support that and I2004 support those.
Scheduler? Do automatic backups? Or?
Scheduler is a set, actually, you'll see here on the taskbar as well. Scheduler is a program which will allow you to see jobs as you create. For example, John, you'd like to create a backup on the PBX every day. Well, you would place that into the scheduler as a job, and then if you wanted to see the status of it, you would come here.
What else can you do with any such backups?
With the scheduler?
Yeah.
Well, once we get into phone set administration, you'll be able to schedule when you want phones to be administered. For example, you're going to hire 5 people for Monday morning. Well, you're not going to come in first thing Monday morning to program all those phones. You've got time the week before, so you'll set up a schedule. It will then, Friday night or Monday morning, program a switch for that. Cool. So you can set up your administration jobs to go at a later time. If I close that, then no jobs will run. I have to make sure that the scheduler is running. If I minimize the OTM, you'll notice that the scheduler disappears from the taskbar. With Windows 2000 and Windows 95, people weren't used to programs disappearing or hiding underneath one section in their system tray or window, sorry, taskbar. But now with Windows XP, people are getting more used to that, so it doesn't freak people out as much as it used to. It used to really freak people out of jobs. That's the introduction to OTM Navigator. Very little is in the OTM Navigator. I don't spend much time there because we spend all of our time in the system window. Now, one of the first things that I do when I'm showing people who administer the phone system who aren't IT based is I tell them that they should maximize their system window. That way the focus doesn't get lost, their own focus in their mind, between the different windows. If I do that for everything, then it looks very, very similar. Where was I? What am I doing? People can get lost very quickly. That's the problem. Because they all look so similar. That's where people have a lot of difficulty. Within the system window, to discuss the programs there, we've got station administration. This is where one performs key changes, feature changes, permissions and restrictions. For example, are you allowed to dial long distance? Are you allowed to pick up your phone hands-free? Another program is CPMD. There wasn't enough space to actually say call party name display there. That would take up too many characters. That was a jab at the Nortel design guy. CPMD, that's all it shows. Call party name display. Basically, your name database here. If someone spelled, or if we spelled your name wrong, you would come over here and then you would enter this program, and then you'd be able to change it. Another program, List Manager. this feature is being used less and less. However, those people who do use it quite well. Here we'd be able to program your own personal speed call lists. So if you have 45 people that you call frequently, suppliers, computer companies, directdial.com, and you don't want to look up the number all the time, you would put it in your phone, and then instead of actually looking up the number and dialing it, you hit speed dial, and then a reference number. Speed dial 12, oop, there it is. Speed dial 45, let's call mom. Speed dial 69, that's your wife or girlfriend. Or both, got a conference call. List manager, you'd be able to populate numbers for anybody within this interface. How about the hand wave? That's cool too, right? Carefully. Other than that, it only serves that function. Okay, so just to review, we've got station min for phones, the actual phones, CPMD for the names, and list manager for the actual speed call lists. Also within list manager, there's a system speed call list. So if we wanted to set up popular numbers that the entire company dials, then we can reference that list every phone as well. For example, you're going to open up another office in Toronto, or you're going to enter another office in Guatemala. It could be a little popular kind of thing. People will have to ask you, what's the head office for permanent speaker in Guatemala? Oh, it's speed dial 1, speed dial 2. Steve, are you going to be breaking this up into different sections, or what will be the format for the training? That was a fair bit of information for introduction. But now I'd like to get into station administration or a separate topic. Maybe later on we want to jump to the beginning of this.
Right.
How do you normally do something like that?
Right now we've got it all just
one. Okay. So there's a fast forward function.
This is a slide selection, so I can go through the slide list and find where I want to go from.
Can you place markers or bookmarks or?
Not really. So maybe it's a good idea.
Well, I'll look into the camera and say station administration. Okay. If you can't enjoy what you're doing, then you might as well go home, right? Next time, just have to look for when I stare at the camera. All right, station administration loads up a database of all the phones, their location, their phone type, sync status, we'll talk about that in a minute, their phone number, their directory number, same thing. In Nortel terminology, we call that DN, or a directory number. Terminal number, which is like a port on the switch, last name, first name, and department. Now, department has been populated by OTM, or. What's important to us? Well, we need to know the phone set type, because that limits the number of buttons we get to program. We need to know the phone number of that phone. Most oftentimes, we're going to get instructions left in a voicemail or an email saying, my phone button doesn't work. And you don't know who left the message, and you don't know what their number is, and you don't know what room they're in. But what do you go on? You have to go by something. If they don't give you any information, then, well, how are we supposed to administer it? So you need either their name, for example, Richard, or their number, 6071, and something that the customer or the client will have is their terminal number. What's their port on their switch? That's like saying on the passport, what port are you connected to? I want to see if your email account's active. Like customers or clients are not going to know that. I'm calling the end user, the client here. We are the support organization, right? If you're speaking to another PBX technician and you're asking for support, they're going to dial into your system and you are going to give them the port number because their world revolves around understanding the port that you want to program. And they're less concerned about names and numbers. Hey Dave, I'm working on TN412. Notice these two fields here are all zeros. They're insignificant for small systems. I'm working on TN 411. Can you help me with that? Or, I think I know what the number is. It's 6011. Can you tell me what the TN is? All right, it's 48. All right, can you enable long distance on that? I've been nagged. That's it, Donna, quick. So this field here contains all of our files. You'll notice the fancy scroll bars on the side, which I won't use. And for Kevin, that's a cannot, not will not.
Right.
Yeah. If I want to scroll down through my list, I must use these buttons. There is no place to enable scroll bars. We're just smoking with 19th century technology here. I can click down.
Keypad arrow key? Does that work?
I'd be able to scroll down to my highlight list. At least I'd be able to do it.
Page arrow?
Yes, I can. But people often forget this 101 keyboard thing here in front of them. I can also hit the bottom or the top through these buttons, and page down is replicated through buttons. All depends on your preference. A lot of people spend time moving their hand from their mouse to the keyboard. That probably wastes hours a day. So I try to minimize that. Hey, when you're doing 400 or 500 at a time, you can try to find the keyboard shortcuts to shorten your exam. Mm-hmm. If I'm interested in administering one of these phones, for example, let's pick on Peter. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but if I double-click anywhere here in this field, I'll get a simple pictorial of his phone set. And I'll get buttons which I can click on. For example, key 0 or key 1. Now, if I had a phone set here, I could actually point to it as well. But you'll just have to pretend. For those of you at home, grab a 3904 set. If I'm interested in changing this key here, key 5, from auto dial to another key, I'll click on it, single click, and I can pick from a list of buttons that I want to program. I would select it, and then I'll click on OK. If I wanted to troubleshoot a button, for example, someone complained that this auto dial only allows me to put in a certain number of digits, then I can click on it again, troubleshoot why, and perhaps even program that number. For example, put in a 9, 1, 4, 1, 6, so on and so forth. And then I can program the phone system so that auto dial is automatically set. Have you guys had a chance to play around with your phone sets and go through the menus and doing all that? There is a feature label program. Have you seen that? Where you can actually take a button and call it something else. Well, you can call it mom, or you can call it boss. You know, just hit it, pick up a line and dial. Now, that is a phone set program. You cannot work through OTM to change that. So if you're moving phone sets and you plug it in and it happens to be for someone important and it says mom on it, well, you have to reset that button. Right? It's not going to be resettable through here. Same thing for the language. If it's all in Chinese and the person you're giving the phone to isn't Chinese and doesn't understand that Chinese, then you'll have to reset the phone for the proper language.
What's the easiest way to reset a phone?
Have another phone that's in English and follow the menus while you hit the strokes, the same keystrokes. Or get someone who speaks Chinese and reads Chinese. I'm sure there's going to be a few intelligent people around here. I can do it in German, French, English, and sometimes Spanish on a good day, but otherwise, I'll have another phone set where I hit the same keystrokes with the English. Okay, yeah, click down. Because the phone set is totally changed.
There's no way to just dump the memory out of it.
No, sir.
Start day zero again.
No, sir. No, they're non-volatile RAMs, and once you unplug them, unplug them back in, it works exactly the same way you left it. There's no button on the back, or like a palm, or you can reset button, or insert room samples as well. I'm not even allowed to say palm RAMs, sir. Considering a background in history. So that was a 3904. The 3904 actually has how many keys on the keypad? Now when I say keypad, the programmable keys here. We've got key 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And what's the counting? They all count in a similar fashion. Key 0 is actually green, if you recall. When I click on this next page button, you'll notice now I've got key 6 through 11. So 3904 actually have 12 programmable buttons that we can assign anything to. Separate lines, we can have 12 lines if we want. Pop dial buttons, so on and so forth. The 3903 will have key 0, key 1, key 2, and key 3. These will have far less keys. Sometimes when you're programming or you're troubleshooting, a phone might walk from one location to another. Such is the case of a plant that we just upgraded the phone system to. Politics and the union environment is just horrible. It's got a nicer phone. So plug it in and then they'll call in a couple days. My phone don't work. So you'll spend your whole day trying to figure out why it's not working. Only by the end of the day you'll figure out, okay, well, maybe it's the phone setting. And you'll ask them, okay, what kind of phone does it have? Do you have? So you pick it up. On the bottom will say M3904. And you'll see, it used to be programmed to 3903. And phone sets cannot be mixed. If you have a port program with one phone set type, you need to stay with that same type.
So the phones, there's no type of automated way of them saying, this is what I am. So it's all done through this data.
It's centrally.
It's all done.
That's correct. It's not end user controlled.
No.
Because then people could grab the 3904s off of someone's desk and plug it into theirs, and now I've got an executive phone that's worth twice as much, and I feel important.
Right.
This is simply using the cloud for the case.
Okay.
So save yourself a bit of time and make sure all the simple things are taken care of. What kind of phone set do you have? Oh, well, I've got a 3902. You'll see it only gets one button. They get no other features. My first key or second key doesn't work. Well, where did you get the phone? And then a couple of days later, you'll find out someone went on vacation. Their phone is 3902. So, interesting things happen. I'm sure stuff like that is never in here. Because people really, I'm sure people are above that. A little silent later. But it may happen, and you'll waste your day on it. Right. Does. What other phone set types do we have here? Well, you've got an M2008 on 12.0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, of this 5. These are actually your call pilot ports. And doing anything other than viewing these will take down your voicemail. Call pilot uses voice, the 2008 has phone set types to transmit the voice between the PBX and the call pilot.
Is there a situation where you should modify this?
There could be. For example, if you're enhancing the number of ports for your voicemail, then yes, you could be programming more. Or let's say you had a feature where you wanted an attendant to dial out to a long distance number, and these are set up for local dial only. So yes, there are instances where we could administer them. However, in day-to-day, there is very little flexibility. Let's take a look for John's home. Now, if I only knew John's first name, I could click on View Sort and list by first name. to scroll through the list. You use the arrow key and find John. And then I'd ask, okay, is it John McCormick? Is it John Moffitt? But I know better, it's actually John McCormick. If I wanted to search by directory number, for example, I knew a number 7032. View, sort by directory number. It's very similar to the Excel sort feature. Very handy because you're taking a page, I'm sorry, you're taking a database of at least 4 or 5 pages, and you want to save yourself some time. 7032. There's John's phone. Similarly, again, if you're working with a PBX technician, they're more concerned about the TN or the port. Steve, I'm working with port 14.5. Can you look that up in OTM, please? Click on View, Sort, TN. 14.5 would be right there. That'd be first name K, last name
K.
Soft K.
Sure, is that a change?
There you go. Maybe he wants it, but he wants the remaining streets. If I wanted to administer Kevin's phone, I would see he's got key 0 as 7043, key 1 as 7806. Key 2 makes it busy. So no call ring on the set, they go straight to mail. Speed call and 2 auto dials. Let's see what he's using his auto dials for. Hasn't used that one. And hasn't used that one. If I wanted to program one of these, for example, make key 5. And we'll have him call a popular pizza number. And it's all the digits required to make this a properly dialable number. Kevin, do you have permissions to dial on this for yourself?
Yep.
Okay, so that's what you would dial. Mm-hmm. Do you need any codes or anything?
Yeah, code.
Yeah.
Okay.
Star code, number sign.
So star.
And then you type in the code.
Okay, and what code is it?
It is
7483.
7483. What was that number again? That's okay. And then 416.
You don't need the 9?
No, you would definitely need the 9. It needs to be dialable. 416-967-111. And I've got insert over right here, so I'll just take that off. That's the closest to see what it is. So I've programmed that. I could then go walk into the phone set and type in pizza pizza for the feature label key. When I click on OK, it will have changed 7043, and it'll also have the same record in its current state. Station administration synchronizing a phone set. The reason why we've got both of these here is this one is a modification of the PC database. The phone system actually hasn't been modified yet. It's got its own database. So what we're going to do is synchronize our thing to the switch. Here it asks us, okay, do you want to hold till Friday night? You know, we're about to can Kevin, we're going to out his phone, that sort of thing. What will happen is, a job will then go into the scheduler. And it's been scheduled for the next 1 minute interval. So it'll happen in maybe about 30 seconds. If I'm being incredibly impatient, I can right click and say start now. It will then launch that command line interface session with the PBX. And just as a technician would log in, it's going to change this phone set. It'll program that key with the phone number. There it goes. And then it's done. And then the job is removed from the schedule. Also, at the same time, you'll notice that that current record now disappeared, and his status, his synchronization status, has restored to transfer. In other words, the PBX database for that record is the same as the OTM database for that record. And that is basically what there is to the same key.
What would happen, hypothetically, if you had two systems with this client application, and they're modifying the database separately. Is there a facility for syncing up with the PBX database?
Well, you'd be in the wrong location for hypothetical situations.
All right.
There is a feature to reconcile.
Okay.
And what you're asking me about, geez, it's so annoying. Sorry for the humor, maybe I should turn it down. What you can do is reconcile your database with the PBX. The master here is always the PBX, because it's always in service. The difficulty you'll have is that this is dongle controlled. There's actually a SuperPro USB dongle here, so you wouldn't be able to install it on the machine. However, let's say this was in a half operating state. Pull the dongle, stick it in another machine, load the application. You know you've got a database here, but if you wanted to work on the next machine, suck down the database. Once this was up and running again, then you could move the responsibilities as you saw fit.
Do we need to know, before we reconcile, we have to fix it? Here's our PBX against IP address.
Yes, you would.
Okay.
Yes, you would.
Do we know that? Do we know that?
No. Well, here's an interesting perhaps I pass this on to you, John. My partner Steve and I, we were up in Quebec at a manufacturing plant, and the IT department there, they've got some pretty slick processes in place. They've got a cabinet, and in there is a huge binder with all the drivers, CDs for OS, key codes, and a fully detailed procedure on how to build a machine from scratch. So when I showed them the OTM product, they went through with this lesson as we did. And I said, okay, Dave, let's get together tomorrow because I'm going to rip this machine apart, format the drive, and from the instructions we just created, I'm going to build it. And his knowledge of OTM was about that much, and he's about to do that. And he did it. And so then we picked up the training right after that. So he took all his notes, stored them away in the binder, and what they do is once a year they pick a server and they just, here you go, I built it, now you build it. I thought, well, it was a bit of extra work in the beginning, but isn't that sick?
Yeah. Right?
Because isn't there so much knowledge left in a few people for different products? So I wouldn't mind sharing with you all the information that I used for the site-specific information. It's yours. It should be yours. You should have that. You should be able to build it. It's a bunch of next buttons, really. And perhaps an IP address, but how you get to that point, where is the key code, what do you, right, like, we would avoid situations like this.
Okay.
Steve,
yeah.
I'm going to try to find your phone and pick on you for a while. So I'm going to put on the first name. How many Steve's are there being as well? Lots of Steve's, there we go. I can read. Either you're Mr. Bendel or Mr. Morse.
Okay.
So I'll tap enter. And Steve managed to scoop a 3904. I thought you just started working here in October.
Okay. I appreciate it. Wow.
Okay, even you purchase it's expensive money on you, boy. You've got a lot of unused features here. Whole bunch of mongos. There are some pretty neat buttons we can program on your site. For example, let's program key 11 with hotlines. What does he want? He wants an MCK button here. And key 10, he wants a message waiting in the case. Now, you guys can't do this to you can't play tricks on each other. You have to promise me that.
Okay.
But what this does, the MIK and the MCK buttons, is they turn on people's lamps for us. Just to test the lamps. As an administrator, you would need to test other people's lamps. What ends up happening is I show people how to be a little bit of a prankster. And over a period of time, don't overuse this. Over a period of time, you turn on people's lamps. Don't whisper. No, I don't have whisper. Sometimes you can do it several times a day, then back off for a week, and then do it once a day, and then wait for the person to come over to your IT department. My phone doesn't work, and my voice call doesn't work. Oh, let me go fix it. So you turn off the button, I think it's fixed now. And then leave it alone for a month, and then, you know, pick up something like that. Synchronize, transmit, selected. We're going to transmit the changes now, those two buttons. Okay? So the entry now is in the scheduler. I'm showing you this for your own background. If I were in HR, I would just know that after a couple of minutes it would go, the doc, right? I'm impatient as well. I'm going to right click and start now. Doc starts. All this is an artist window. Now my adjusting arms, please. Here you go. It'll log in. It'll adjust the phone set. And one word of caution, guys, if you're working with someone else's phone set other than your own, just after it finished, it will reset the phone to the point where if someone were on a phone call, you'll disconnect. Okay, so please be wary of that. If you're working with someone and you care about interrupting them, then call them ahead and say, please stay off your phone for 2 minutes. You actually need only 5 seconds, but it gives them some time. They won't freak out. If you don't care about them, for example, it's your own phone set and you're standing right beside it, then you don't have to worry about it. Just get off the phone. And anything you do will disconnect. However, it won't interrupt anyone else. Okay, so Steve, if you walked up to your phone and you hit 8, or next 8, then you get the next 6 buttons. You would see the message linkage and the message cancellation. You would hit the message linkage button, and then the person's prime number, and then hit the button again. And then the lamp will turn on and see. Don't abuse it. Kevin knows how to take those buttons off. I'm sure this is an atmosphere where some practical jokes are tolerated.
Oh, wow.
When I work in North
Carolina, the problem is we'll have to fix them.
We don't want any more hassle. You get enough things to do today.
Well, if you're trying to get back at someone, I'm sure you could fix somebody.
Oh, yeah. There'll be people, I'm sure.
Unfortunately, if I show you these things, then my bag of trips becomes smaller and smaller. Oh, yeah, Dave's picking on me again. Let's take a look at some of the other features that we can program as buttons. This is Steve's phone set as well. Again, we've got the destination message pointer. If I click on key 9, I've got ACD answer agent, automatic answer back, ACD agent, emergency call, attendant recall, forward busy status. This button here, I can monitor the status of another person's phone. So who would want that, or how would this feature be used? Let's say the receptionist or a supervisor, sorry, a secretary, wanted to manage a few executives. Now, that may not happen here as a feature, but let's say John wanted to monitor the 3 sets here and see if anyone was on the phone, because he's got a call and he's got to push it off somewhere. Oh, you're on the phone, Kevin, you got the call. You can program the forward or busy status and monitor different sets. Not monitor and listen in, but just monitor the status of the set. Conferees flexible display. If I'm setting up a conference and I've got a conference button on my set, my normal cell, not having a polycoms. I can actually hit a button and view those who are on the conference, and I can get rid of those from the list whoever I want. So I've got 5 people on. Oh, there's Dave again. He doesn't need to go to his phone. See you later, Dave. And disconnect. So I can scroll through the list of people, view them by calling ID. DM pickup. You're starting to see that there's a whole lot of features here, right? Excuse me. DN pickup. If I hear that phone over there is ringing, instead of me getting up off my foot and walking over to pick up the phone, I can program my set so that I can pick up that phone over there. Hello? Oh, sorry, Kevin's not in today. Hang up. Now, without me having to get into every possible feature because there are practically millions. And this product is basically a collection of customer request features for the past 50 years. What I'll leave you with is the conclusion that this product has every feature you want and more. All you have to do is imagine what the customer may need or what the end user may need. And if they're requesting it and you want to give it to them, the feature is in here.
So do you have a glossary or something? Like,
yes.
Here you've identified three you think we'll probably use. In fact, two of them are doing.
That's right. Well, there is a software features guide. It's three PDFs. I can either equip you with the entire library of 150 PDFs, or I can just forward those software feature books. And they're listed in alphabetical order. It's a great read if you want to go to sleep. And basically what I do is, if I know that there's a requirement, I then go look at those books. You can
that's basically the way I use it. It's just
right.
A reference.
Yeah. There's no problem with that at all. I'm a little bit hesitant because it's just so huge. I'd be like leaving you with the Bible here, or leaving you with the telephone book. Oh yeah, it's in there. So I don't want to insult anyone with intelligence. Most of the time, what I do is I just leave an open door and I say, hey, if you have a question about a feature, you know, ask someone who's gone through 50 of the 7,000 of them, and that'd be me. Every time I meet a new customer, work with a new customer, I end up learning about a new feature as well. Here's another one, extended message waiting. What I can do is I can, on my set, reserve a key so that I know when someone else has voicemail or another mailbox. For example, the receptionist downstairs, I don't know if that one, so I'm not really picking on him or her. Receptionist downstairs doesn't get the general voicemail all that quick. I come in here early today, I want to know, so maybe I can go get it. You know, we've been getting some important calls lately, and I don't want them to fall through the cracks. So I can monitor when a particular mailbox gets voicemail. Basically, the conclusion I leave with people is, if you want a feature, it's probably in your. What facilities do I have as an IT administrator to learn about these features? Well, can I click on help? Sure, let's click on help. Help will tell you click on OK for this and click on cancel for that. So it's Windows Help. To us, and I say us here in this room, it's actually quite insulting. All right, so I clicked on that and there's very little. You get used to that. And if I click on this help button, again, I get really basic type of thing. Something to help you in your understanding is, this is a Windows program that's been built by Windows programmers who know very little about the software features that they are programming or implementing. So you guys have quite a bit more knowledge in the phone system, and you've got security knowledge in Windows, you really don't need this kind of help. The product has been slanted for users who have a little of both, a little phone knowledge and a little Windows knowledge. So the help that you're looking for is more in those books than I'm able to give you. Well, what I'd like to do now is stop, let someone program a feature on their set, and supervise it as a lesson. Very simple. Or sorry, not as a lesson, as an exercise. I'm going to pick on Steve today.
Sure.
Okay. So I'll get out of the program entirely, and you'll navigate to it. You'll go to your phone set, and you'll program a key on your set. That's all for the amateur. Thank you. How long would you have to log in?
Pick on that.
Yeah, let's pick on this one. We can see the change happen right away. So you've been next. So the, what's the prime DN for that set there, Steve?
You mean the
key zero or the green key?
The green key? Yeah, 7111.
And the green key will actually be listed in the prime DN column. There you go. Some things to know, if someone gives you an extension number set, and I'd say extension as a key zero, sorry, key one or key two, you won't be able to list by that. My button 7805 doesn't work. Well, what's your prime DN? I need to know that so I can look it up here. Oftentimes I find that people don't give you enough information to go on, so that's why I'm trying to help you guys ask the very questions.
So just clarify, prime DN is not your extension?
Well, I'm being picky here. Your prime DN is your key zero.
Okay.
They're all extensions, yes.
It's your 9-1.
Yes. But what is your second line, let's say, or your fans? It depends on how people like to use the terminology.
Okay.
They are all extensions. But I'm refining the terminology for your prime. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah. But none of the terms are really incorrect.
Right.
People say phantom, people say second line, people say extension. What key was that you programmed?
Key 3.
Okay, and key 3, do you remember where that is? If you have a count on a set?
It would be 0, 1, 2, 3.
Okay. So bottom left.
Bottom left.
Okay, let's make that into hot dial.
Hot dial.
Hot dial, we're going to hot dial done.
Hot.
So as soon as you hit the button, it picks up, it dials right up to the extension.
So I click in destination now.
Okay, and the destination would be?
Would be, we're going to go to John's extension?
Correct.
So that would be a
7-3-2. Another career limiting move, you don't know your...
it's two doors down, I just walk over to a customer.
It is coming in.
Yeah, that's right.
The danger of an open door policy.
You'd also need to indicate the DN length. So what's the DN length? The DN length would be the length of the memory you just put in.
So I just have to type in 4, although it doesn't appear to want to let me. Because I haven't.
Probably did it backwards.
Right, so now I type in 4.
Correct.
And it's 2.
Correct.
Why is that done, Steve? That's done. The length is defined because sometimes end users in certain scenarios can program their own. And if they get smart, I can pop that home. But if you don't want that because you don't have enough outbound channels, you restrict the number that they can program by putting that 4.
Right.
Okay.
So that 4 actually restricts that 1, 2, 4 character.
Correct.
So if they were reprogramming, they couldn't reprogram it.
Correct. So anything other than 4 digits.
So
we are not in the same environment, Kevin, where we need to restrict people from what they need to use a phone for, but in other customer environments, such as the factory evidence, everything needs to be restricted right down to the phone set type, right down to the number they can dial. We have to program restrictions so that people can hook up their modems to dial localized ISP while they're on the job to download. You know, stuff from websites that were restricted. So we had to put in a database and restrict certain numbers. Everything had to be restricted. So the customer ended up using all of these restriction features ad nauseum. And things you wouldn't think that people could figure out, well, you're in a fact, you're trying to figure out everything, not to do any of the work. And to use the phone for an escape. Here, our mindset is even here for anyone. But we still have to use it to be more support for that. And click OK. See if it programmed the P3 as hotline. You can walk up to the set and change the feature key later. And then once you click on OK, you'll notice that you get a change and still have a current. The current is a few lines down here because you've got a slave circuit. So you'll want to highlight the change actually because you want to synchronize that for everything. Highlight that. Transmit. Select. Nothing stops you from highlighting five changes at once if that's what you wish to do. So if you want to change and add a key to everyone's set, you can do that. Highlight five, send them off, and leave them there. Copy 4732. There you go. And you disconnect the user if they're on the line. And then they'll say hi. That's how I'm at. Okay, hit the button. So 99% of the time, you guys are going to be working with keys, reprogramming keys. They move to different offices. John, you set up a membrane plan that they must change your extensions, the extensions scaling set. With that kind of methodology, your responsibilities is actually quite minimal. If you can enforce it, which is a tough part, you just have to. You want to do what? If you can enforce it, then programming stays to a minimum. In every other customer environment, everyone's accepting those. And so what happens is you spend 3-4 hours a week moving the assault. So hopefully it'll survive. Then you won't have to do this all the time. It'll just be
so we have an example right now where we have a user, Karen, who's moved from one location to another location, and now we have to reprogram her phone. It was programmed Carrie's phone, now we'd like to change it to Karen's phone. How can we just swap those two?
Well, what do you want to swap?
I want to swap basically everything from one phone to another phone, so the port.
Are they the same phone set type?
Same phone set type.
You can move the keys.
Move the keys?
Program them. Now, there's nothing wrong with you having duplicates of 7101 in three different locations. It's great on some photos. So what I would do is I would find out the source and the destination. And then I would either move them or reprogram them. But then what happens is the numbering plan gets destroyed. The numbering plan is key to every phone, or sorry, every room and every port. So I would test it's gone. And
the big thing right now is for her would be just to be able to close down her old voicemail on the old extension. She's already adopted the new extension.
Right.
And set up a central voicemail on the new one.
Right. Now, I'm showing you about 99% of the stuff we'll do here. I'd like you to play with it for a while. Depending on how much time we have, I'd love you guys to call out and mention voicemail. Would that be all right?
Sure.
Okay. Sounds relatively painless. You didn't point to my right?
Yeah.
What would I do if I wanted to remove that key and just make it blank? Well, I'll look for 7101, so I'll make sure I'm sorting by directory number. And for those of you at home, this room still has the new building spot. Hotline, and then click on clear. And now it says P3. On the phone side, it won't say P3, it'll say nothing. Okay. What I'll do is I'll replace it with the auto dial. And I can also highlight this and hit A, it'll bring you to that there. Okay. Most likely, John won't want to be called from everyone who has a conference here. They'll have to run here all the time. One customer that I worked for last year, they used the mnemonic on their keypad help, and I brought them right to the edge of the bridge. So H-E-L-P, and then they'd be able to have it ring on all phones and just stuff like that.
What happens when it rings on all phones? Is the first person who picks up that it gets connected to?
It depends on the key or the feature that you set up.
Okay.
Yep. If you want privacy to be maintained, I'm using that terminology, that's an article terminology. The first person who picks up will then seize the line,
yep.
And then privacy will be maintained between the two people.
Okay.
If you have an analog appearance as well, let's say a modem on the same line, and there is a digital set and an analog set, privacy will not be maintained. So you could potentially get a notebook call.
Anybody can pick up.
That's right. Now, to further explain the situation, if you wanted an additional call to ring on the same number of sets, you'd have a multiple call environment. So what would happen is, let's say Donna calls you, you guys are in a conversation, someone else had dialed help, ATLP, now there's only two sets that have that appearance, it'll ring on those two sets, and then the next person will be able to pick up. If you didn't want the multiple scenario, what you could do is set up a single call ring, which is what these are set up for. All the sets would ring, the first person to pick up would see the line, and the line would ring no more. If additional calls came in, it would go straight to the mail, or it would just get fast busy. Sorry, busy. And so it depends on what you're expecting. Probably a bit too much information for you, but hey, you're in a training session. Other customers set that up as a pseudo queuing. And it rings on everyone's set, and whoever picks it up, and you can help the end user. There are probably more slick ways. You've already got probably an email ticket system or an email request for.
Here's a word. Help me.
We've all been left.
Do you still have the original box on your computer?
Yeah.
Put it in the original box and just step back from it. Do not operate a computer anymore. So that was.
If I want to change the system time on the actual hand system wide, do I change the system administration?
There is, under maintenance, there's a system terminal.
Okay.
And through here, it allows us to operate through the Ethernet connection. We need to know the system user ID and password. And then we can get to low-level diagnostics, which is where the clock is performed. And Dave will actually have to look it up or call someone for using the password. I'm sorry?
I think the time is wrong on our phones.
Okay. That's
right. It's not smart enough to do daylight savings when you stay in time.
Did you guys notice the BlackBerry when we heard it?
A week ago, they did
a month ago.
Actually, his parents went back 2 hours.
Back 2 hours?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's okay now. Yeah. Come by.
Okay. So there are the username passwords. The first two lines.
Very good, Dan.
Admin 1. What is the password?
Test 1.
C-U-S-T. Oops. C-U-S-T-1. And if you recall, when we did phone sex teams, there was a command line interface program. That's this one. So I would log in. Now I have to use the mnemonics of the PBX. Password. Test. Let's make sure I put that in there. So. And the program that you want is program 2, or load 2, or overlay 2. And I could instruct it to tell me what this time and date was. And it says 9/11/2004. 9/11. Oh, that's the wrong 9/11, sorry. What I would need to do is I would actually need to have different commands, set time and date. And I would need to instruct it as the time. So, what I normally do is I reference the atomic clock and analog. That's the NRC clock, and the phone number is 91. I'll have to put it in a call, right?
Sure.
6330 91613 745 1576.
1636.
15 to 76, sorry.
And on the Eastern Standard Time, 12 hours, 17 minutes, and 50 seconds. And on the Eastern Standard Time, 12 hours, 18 minutes, exact same. And on the Eastern Standard Time, 12 hours, 18 minutes, and 10 seconds.
Okay. I like that. Now, if I get,
So STAB is the
set time and date.
And TTAB is just
the tell it. That's correct. So it's been an hour behind all this time?
Yeah.
A month, year, hour, minute, second.
Are there a lot of other commands that are only accessible from the command line interface?
I would say a Googleplex of commands.
So ones that you would likely be using?
Depends on how intimate you want to get with the maintenance portion.
Oh.
I'm not saying don't go there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying how far you're comfortable with.
Right.
Do you want to get into diagnostics of ports, diagnostics of cards?
No.
Well,
notice our DRI interface.
You may want to. For example, you are sitting at your desk, you've got access to OTM, and you wanted to find out if you can actually communicate with an ISDN set. With IPsec, you would just ping. But there's a command called IDU, and then the terminal number. Remember what the terminal number of your set was? Yep. Steve?
7111.
That was the directory number. But what was the port? Or the terminal number?
Oh.
See, that the terminal number is actually the if I could say, prime key. I would need to find 7111. I'll start by directory. Like so. And this T and this 1414. Then here I could type in IDU or identify unit 14 space 14, and then it will come back with the serial number, call code, and so on and so forth. If the phone set were not there, I've just picked the phone set. Don't try this at home, folks. And type in IDU 14 14. Like so, it'll actually not get a response back. And I'll give you an error code. NPR 503. Now the switch doesn't have any GUI help pop-ups or that, so you would actually have to double-click on that response timer. The switch communicates in message flows, of which there is a PDF of 3,000 pages probably in quotes. Okay. So, if you want to get involved at level, and I encourage it, you guys work with diagnostic programs on many different machines. Depends on how far you want to be comfortable getting used to a new machine, or how comfortable Career Institute wanted to see you guys get into it. Because if you're taking on another product, do you have a maintenance contract? You know, do I have people take care of that? Do you want to be dependent on calling, making the phone call, instead of finding out it's actually your own problem with a cable? These are decisions you have to make as a whole. Some customers want to be completely hands-on. Oh, Dave, show me that, show me that. Other customers don't want to know it at all. I am of the school of belief that if I show customers as much as they want to learn, then they'll call me back for more business. Right? I have nothing to hide. There is probably 15 news groups that you can go on and find out yourself for all the simple stuff. There's tech tips. You can go on Google for Nortel, DCOM. There's a whole bunch of stuff out there. And after a while, I'll answer all the simple questions you get to this point. And then once you get into the advanced stuff, and I'll then need Dave, so. Because Dave does that twice a month, whereas I'll do this once in my lifetime, and you know, you'd be able to call on my expertise. There's a lot of stuff in here. Stuff that China uses or even don't use. One last thing to show you guys before we go over to Copilot. We've made several changes to this database. If the power to the PBX were actually to drop right now, you would lose your changes to the PBX database. The change is still here. What we want to do is within the system window, we want to do a data dump. This data dump will not affect call processing. What it will do is it will save all of the information to the flash memory and also back up to the same flash memory. So you get three copies.
So this database is only in memory right now on the PBX?
In volatile memory.
Not written in memory.
Correct. In a few moments, it'll be in non-volatile memory.
Okay.
The job is here. I'm going to force the job. Again, I didn't have to force it. It's going to log in. It's going to do data. If you guys are considering disaster recovery plans for all of your servers, this is not one of them. A disaster recovery would require a flash cart, stick it into the CPU, and then you can actually invoke a few commands. Take that flash cart, it's readable in any machine. File structure uses MS-DOS 8.3. Maybe I can store that offline. The database is a couple hundred kilobytes. It's very, very, very efficient. A regular 40 meg or 64 meg Kingston memory PCMCIA or card would be fine. eBay for $30 or $20 or fine line RAM or so on. Correct. We had a bit of a late start. How do you feel for time? Do you want to make up a bit of that time, or?
I guess hungry.
We could race through the call pile for the instruction because it's all web-based.
Sure.
There's very little there. I could probably bore you to death in about half an hour. If you're not already there.
One question. Automated attendant.
Yes.
Administered through
Copilot. And there it goes. It's logging out. The PBX is completely, or sorry, the OTM is completely for phones, not for applications or voice monitoring. Okay, so it leaves you with a log, it tells you what's been recorded, and it'll tell you transmit completed with 0 hours now. I don't want you to take home that this is a transmit that goes anywhere else. It's just a backup to its own flash memory. The disaster recovery would require that piece of card.
BRI lines are considered stations?
It would be considered station lines. Yes.
So in here we would be able to administer BRI connections?
Correct. The one thing I want you to leave as a note, or one thing to impress upon you, is when you purchase that PRI card, mm-hmm. you must already have knowledge of how to program the ports in station administration.
So it's a one-time deal?
It's a one-time thing, but if you're, let's say you're purchasing a Brook trip, they oftentimes don't, they don't publish what the configuration is, so you have to guess, so you have to research. And if you're picking between brand X and brand Y, well, brand Y's got the no-till configuration, it's a piece of cake from out there.
Mm-hmm.
But if brand X doesn't, then you're in a guessing game. Did you see how many configurations there were?
Yeah.
You'd be spending a year trying to get it going. Or you'll get Dave to do it, and then you'll see a big bill, and you don't want that.
Yeah.
So you want to know ahead of time what the configuration is. Even if you get Dave involved, if you go, here, Dave, it's done. instead of the role what you want. Because there are just too many configurations to list. One thing that I didn't explain and which you saw earlier, no one asked me about it, is if I'm closing the OSM Navigator, if I want to reboot, I must terminate OTM. If I just want to close OTM and keep the schedule running for jobs that are going to run Friday night, then I just log out currently to keep OTM. Okay. OTM doesn't really run as a service. It runs as an application. So if I wanted to reboot, I'll click on OK. If you exit now, all applications and system connections will be terminated. Unsaved changes will be lost. Do you want to exit now? Yes. You know what I'm doing. Okay. Any questions about OTM? This is the basic. Friday will be more advanced. You guys will get to use it. I encourage using it. Try a couple of things. Okay, I'm giving you enough knowledge of the danger, so I want you to break it and get into problems and go, okay, Dave, what did you know? If we're not at that state, then Friday will be wasted. Okay, so try a couple of things. Try fixing your phone set to, you know, remove all that stuff that we need. Try a couple of features. Call pilot usually is, well, we're on a capital mic, right? It's the Internet Explorer. And if I'm on the Nortel ELIN, I must use the ELIN IP address of the call pilot. Call pilot can be present on two networks. The Nortel ELIN for private communications within the cabinet, and then communications to your call pilot through your network for voicemail and for administration. So here, the IP address is .3. And I'll type in CPMVR, call pilot manager. I'm going to bring it here. So let's look up the name of Patrick. My notes for the root account, so 1234560, and the password of 1122233. That won't be enough for this interface just to log in. Again, just like OTM was built to administer multi-sites, this is as well. So you need to put in the site that you just put in the URL field. This feature is strictly for multi-site administration. So all we're doing is we're duplicating the IP address that we put in here. If we had a multi-site, then we'd have to put in a different address. Click on login. Accept that. And it'll tell me that the user password is expired. So the current password, 112233. And John, would you like to come up with a password?
Let's just set it up to interview again.
Numbers only, I believe, are from those numbers. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Here it goes.
32211.
33211. 33211. 33211. Now click on save. And there we go. We're in the call pilot manager. On our home page, we can access reset password or add user. These are very common things you'd be doing here in the manager. Application builder, you were asking about managing voicemail, attendance, and so on and so forth. If I wanted to get into some advanced searches, I could do that. So no mailbox or stuff like that. Here. How about this search for Scott? Come up with everything. There we go. So I can scroll through this list. Click on any number I wish. How about non? We'll find out that he's got no administrator rights. Instead of having him use the root account, we can make him a full administrator. He'd be allowed to do everything here in this list. He's a regular user, language is English. These are his extensions. Message waiting indication DM. When the call pilot receives a voicemail for this person, it turns on the lamp at 7054. There's several features in here. Reset, change. The help here is actually quite good. So now, on, with, do you have a password for your mailbox? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
You don't have to tell me. But now what we can do is I can log out and have you log in. So that's your mailbox number, and then the password that you normally use for your phone.
Oh, zoom in.
That's great. For those boys and girls at home, that says fail to authenticate the account. Straight to it. Why don't you try logging into your phone? Maybe you'll remember it.
I know it's always. Doors help out by that mailbox.
That means yours.
I think that's an Andy Desk question.
Control. Oh, but which mailbox? Okay, log in as the root account, and then you can reset your own password if you want.
Yeah. No.
He's going to lock himself up. Oh! Okay. Let's create a mailbox for 7111. Right off the home page, you can do it as well. Click on Add User. First name, last name. See, they've got a star. Those fields are required. Okay. Template name. At the top, regular user template. If we wanted to set up a specific user with specific features, then we can select them from that list, but we would have to have previous knowledge of what those templates did. I believe everyone here in this building uses a regular user template, so be safe, safe back. Okay.
Share distribution list.
What list are they part of? If you wanted to...
I just wanted to click on it, see if the drop down.
The back button is your enemy. You don't want to use the back button here. Or the forward or any refresh. You want to use the link. Yeah, you wouldn't be able to save it now. Are you going to set it up? Sorry, a new number? Okay. So, no, this week on the 7-3. We could create some characters ourselves.
I thought we had one. That was a system wide.
A system wide one, that's right, it's not the user defined.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go in there and blow them out now. We just fired them, we didn't like them very much. They didn't know how to log into their voicemail boxes.
They're reading the board or what?
That's right. I don't really need to say that this thing. Because you know I would. Yeah, in the box. There won't be any delete function here. Okay. In the,
so how do we go back to the return?
You have to go through the... through the links, yeah. How about 711 star, so you can get both of them.
Oh.
You know, select both of them, and then delete. Bye-bye. Now, there's no way of getting it back. If you got messages in there, you just deleted the president. Goodbye. You just quit. Because that mailbox isn't coming back anymore. Okay? So be very careful when you're deleting stuff.
You want me to clean your mailbox?
Mine.
Be very careful. There's no undo. 711 is gone the way you knew it. If there are messages in there or recordings, they're gone now.
So how do we transfer messages then to another mailbox?
You need to log into that person's mailbox and then forward them on. There's no way for you to view other people's messages because that's a privacy issue.
So again, in the initial way, we had person one and person two, and they swap desks kind of thing. What's the easiest way?
The easiest way is to delete both mailboxes. Yeah. I say easiest because it's also the best in terms of database maintenance. Okay. Delete the two, put them in as new with the same attributes, with the new names.
And of course, have the user
to listen to their mails.
Listen to it
first. So try for a while. Unless when I throw you a couple of things. Some key ways about this system here. Oh, wrong one. Maintenance, multimedia monitor. We could view the real-time statistics of the ports. What we have here are six ports. Two of them are active. As you note, the white. Five would be dark blue. I could actually take a card, and I could stop those two tails. And then it will show a setting ground state. And then these will then update. And everything is off duty. So now we only have four active ports.
And by active ports, do you mean outside lines?
No, I mean, let's turn these ones off. If I were to turn these off, then Pawpaw wouldn't answer. It's just the voicemail ports.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So let me start those.
So what you're saying here, Dave, is that it's not... It's never going to ring busy unless you hit six, which in this case, not four.
And in fact, let's say now it's six or five. If there were no one calling, let's say, ignoring this, and we place six calls and we all get answered by call pilot, the seventh caller will actually be get ringed back. They will be in queue. However, everyone's expecting call pilot to answer in a ring or less. So they'll think, it's broken. In fact, what you're doing is you're waiting for the next pilot port.
So it'll keep ringing until...
It'll keep ringing. So yeah. Let's say it's lunchtime. That's when the channels are busy the most. And someone calls and says, call pilot's down. Well, don't freak out. Pilot's probably not down. It's just that they didn't get their service in a ring or two. What I'd like you to do is call back into the voicemail number. And if you get a response back, you can assume it was either busy or that they just called with the split incident and coming up late. Call will continue to queue up for vital ports. You'll never actually get busy treatment. Okay, under system. Menu item. We can click on backup and restore.
Before you take off on that one.
Here we are.
This is a system wide setting.
This is completely system wide. This is controlling
per user.
No, this is affecting the actual ports on the call pilot.
And six is usually active for most
systems. Six is calculated based on the amount of phones you have in the building, the type of users in the building. Mm-hmm. and the amount of auto attendance and channels required are. For example, a call center that has no menu, just let's say 967-1111, people are just supposed to answer the phone and sell you pizzas. Well, why would they need a voicemail? They don't have a personal voicemail or a personal line either. So they would need absolutely no channels for call volume. Administrators would need quite a few more channels. Secretaries would need have a lot more demand on voicemail because they receive calls, they forward calls. Customers who have complex menus, press one now, and have 50 different numbers coming into these menus for different menus, then have even more requirements.
Do we have the ability to help this, or do we have to physically change, like put more ports, assign more ports to
it? It would be unlocked by a key card.
Oh, okay.
All the physical hardware is there for 40 channels.
Okay.
40 would be an extreme. And also consider, you know, these channels are an aggregate over everyone's uses. And what's been done actually is an engineering table has been used based on 5% blocking, most likely. So over a month's period, 5% of the busy hour is going to receive blocking treatment. Because you only use one port at a time.
And just to clarify in my own mind, this includes both income from people phoning from their and us phoning our voice messages.
Well, let me make a list of what when you use a channel. If you use 9 out of 10, you use a channel. If you accept your voicemail, you're using a channel. If you're leaving a message for someone, you're using a channel. Yes.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, the most ever seems to count right now, even in the busy hour. And normally, this is the busy hour during the day. Monday, month, people get ready to release most for some reason.
Mm-hmm. You have some kind of logging, or is that very short to know?
There is logging.
To keep track.
To keep track of the traffic, it requires an IIS server so that I can suck down the data and collect it and generate the short reports for you. There's no cost associated with any key code. The software is given to you. You just need to provide the server. Even an old crappy PC would be sufficient enough to collect the data and then you can run the reports.
It's going to be on that network? The 10.1.1?
Not the 1.1 on the test network. The 10.1.1 is where time critical traffic exists. Like, if I were to disconnect the CLAN cable or the ELAN cable of the call pilot even for 2 seconds and call pilot, you wouldn't get a call through because the call pilot needs to communicate to the PBX. A few quick questions. Hey, who's calling? What's the calling ID? Quick, I need to answer the phone. Okay. So if the ELAN is part of your network and it gets broadcast traffic or someone's moving a file, the PBX will actually go down because it's not built to sustain itself in a Windows environment. You know, Windows being shiny PCs. Have really, really well working Active Directory and Ring services. Enough of my Bill Gates commentary. You can get that from anybody. Any more questions before we move on? That was a D-Wiz. Here's a more bread and butter. Backup and restore under the system menu. Here we have a portal into the backups that exist. Currently, you have a Tandberg SLR5 drive, which is sitting at the top there. It's connected by a SCSI cable. And it backs up approximately 6 or 8 gigabytes of data every Friday at 9 p.m.
What is that 6 or 8 gigabytes of data?
Actually, it's a disaster recovery backup. It contains all of your voicemail, all of your mailbox configurations, the entire application. All of your applications, your auto attendance, and so on and so forth. In the event of a hard drive failure, let's say, I would need to load the OS, get it going, and then I could run the restore. But that restore would be type of restore, and just wait for a while for it to restore, and then everything will be exactly the way it was at the time of the fire.
So 6 or 8 weeks doesn't even include the OS?
That's correct. That's correct. And that's depending on the amount of storage customers use what happens is the database is pre-created at install time.
Oh, I see.
And so then the database actually just fills it up.
So it's a fixed length database.
Correct. Because again, that's another way that the system is key coded. Huh. It doesn't actually adjust.
Right.
So when you purchase a certain amount of hours, then that's what you get, and that's what the database is created for.
Cool.
It could be 3, it could be 9. Mm-hmm. That's generally the size. So what would I want to do in this interface here? Well, I could review and schedule backups. I could restore from an archive. Maintain and configure backup devices. Here I could set up a network drive, essentially, if I wanted. I can view the backup history. Let's see what last Friday did. Here we've got several last Fridays, and your side of 3.4 gig. Summary log or detail log. So it can tell me what it backed up. You'll see the Nortel directory. That's the application. You guys are making notes, right? There will be a test at the end. There are some specific library files stored in MT. And then this is the most important message. We want to see that it was completed successfully.
Can it send you an email?
Can it send me an email? It can send me SNMP, but not specifically about this, if that's what you're looking for.
No, just that it completed successfully or didn't.
There would be a log where you can go in and collect that information, but I don't believe an email.
This would be nice, and if you don't think it would call on that.
Mm-hmm. Cancel. I can add a backup if I wish to add a different kind of backup. I can add a backup of users. For example, and this applies mainly to lawyer firms, we can back up their messages as many times during the day as we wish. Lawyers tend to be technologically inept, and they delete messages and go, can you get my voice call back? I just deleted it. And then you hum and haw a little bit, and then you know you've got an archive, but you have to give them a bit of trouble. And then what you can do is log into their mailbox online, find the messages that they have, restore them, and restore the state of the messages. They can even be logged into their mailbox and restore the status of the web.
So you can do individual users and individual messages?
Yes, individual messages.
Wow. Okay.
But for an environment like this, I wouldn't ask you to take on that headache. Just tell people that once you delete it, it's gone. Right? You don't want to take on that administrative task. The feature's here, but how many hours are there in your day? Right?
Nice.
It's nice to know. For those, some of those people. Right? I'm sure you can think of a few. But you wouldn't want it to be publicly known, because otherwise you'd be spending all your day doing messenger. I delete my mailbox. Come over here, John. You don't want to.
Well, I have a problem with the interfaces. When you're going through, you have a little sequence of them.
I'm sorry, you have what?
A problem with the way the interface works on
okay.
the phone. So if I have a whole sequence of voicemail messages, I have listening to the phone. And I, you know, I listen to this one, okay, I don't need that, and I hit delete.
Yeah.
Quite often, I don't do it fast enough, and I'm into the next one.
Oh.
And it's like, uh-oh.
No, it's just marked for deletion.
That's a bad phone, yeah.
Right.
Like, I absolutely.
It's not like central office mail or your cell phone.
You don't hang up.
That's right.
You're okay.
That's right. You can continue to listen to it only when you hang up. And you can actually remove the mark for deletion by 7-6.
So what are you supposed to do? You hit 7-6.
And then we'll unmark it for deletion.
So do you have to wait until it comes all the way around again?
Well, there's a go-to message commit, right? Or you could
probably.
You could scroll back and forth through your messages, and it'll say message 3. Deleted from phone number.
Right. No.
Lots of small idiosyncrasies things. Lots and lots of runs.
It's the first time it happens to somebody besides me. It'll be
running down.
From point. Did you hang up? Sorry.
That's right.
No, we don't back up that stuff.
That's right.
That recording is not getting outside IT.
Oh, no, yeah.
the password for that, this thing, the thing for them.
Yeah. Remove all the dumb jokes, though. I'd be like half the material.
We'll send you a copy.
Yeah. I'll get the MPEG. Oh, cool. What? That's me.
You can listen to all your bad jokes.
If you send me a copy, someone asks me for more on 10-3, here you go.
See, it's online.
That's right. It's online. Put up with me online.
The only problem is you're giving away our passwords.
We don't want to.
We'll sell it back to you. Training.
Let's say we wanted to increase the storage of one particular user. Okay, we'll pick on Kevin.
I can't pick on John.
Pick on John. See, John actually has to report back as to how good I was. So I found him too much.
I haven't had like heard you pick on.
No?
So you better pick on.
I can type in anything that you're missing.
Okay,
you don't have to remember my number. Thank goodness. And that for OTM was quite a bit more rigid that way. Fine, it's on right there. And he's got no new rights. We're going to make him an administrator as well. That way he doesn't have to remember the 6-0, but he can put that in a safe place. I normally recommend placing that in a different location so you can log in with it when you've forgotten yours. Mailbox number, mailbox class, extension DNs, short prompts, autoplay. Where do I find stories? All of this. Block incoming messages, never. Only if the temporary absence greeting is recorded, or always. So when you guys are on vacation, na 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 boo boo, I'm in Cuba, you can't leave me messages. You don't have to come back from your vacation and have 50,000 messages in your mailbox. People don't even want to listen to them, right? So you can highlight that and give them an option to go to a revert DN or disconnect if you've recorded a temporary absence greeting. That way when you come back, you don't have all the stress. You were just at the beach drinking copious amounts of fluids. And now you've gotten 50,000 messages.
This is way too familiar.
Hey, 17.
Well, people don't love you that much, baby. If you go anywhere warm, by the way.
Yes, North Carolina.
Oh, that's great.
And I didn't change any of my shirts until I got back. It's great. I figured it's time to get a long pants on.
I was a North Hall instructor for call pilot and OTM for some years. I had two people that came from North Carolina, and it was wonderful meeting new people, as I'm sure you got to meet. This gentleman was in his class, and I asked him on Thursday of a full 7-day week, full 5-day course. I said, so how do you like it up here in Toronto? Actually, I'm really surprised. You guys got everything here. You got traffic lights and roads just like us. For the first time in my life, I just didn't know what to say. Traffic lights? What do you think we have, England? You can't really blame it. You have to really blame media. That's what I keep telling us. Okay, so we haven't found anything about storage here. For extending it, we found out that John's got almost 30% used, but how long did you cut up to an hour? In fact, storage is controlled by your mailbox class. Very similar to Outlook. When you're operating a machine server, you need to select a different class to give you upgraded features, and this would affect the group. Sorry, you would then become part of a group. So you can't walk up to a mailbox and go, okay, you get 50 minutes, okay, you get 20 minutes. You need to assign to a different group. So if I wanted to assign John to an executive user class, and then find out what the details were, I'll click on class details. Everything will be grayed out. You actually have to administer it at a different location. Delete red voice messages after 14 days. Mailbox storage limit, 20 minutes. Block call answering when mailbox is full. Well, what do we have as a regular user? Let's find that out first for comparison purposes. Regular user, God, 30 minutes. So an executive actually got fewer minutes. Probably because no one ever uses that and we haven't tailored it. Delete red voice messages after 15 days. You know what we should do? And I hope I don't lose anybody here. But let's go over to, let's save this first. Let's go over to mailbox classes and let's upgrade the executive user. Let's not delete messages and let's make it 60 minutes. Okay. So when I click on save, anybody who is assigned to the executive user class, and you'll see that there's nobody there. We'll go over to have they lost anybody yet? Just nod and smile if I've lost you. John. And what I'm going to do now is take John from the regular user class and put him into executive. What have we done? We've doubled his story, and now we don't automatically delete messages. Okay? Now, depending on storage, we may feel that that's too much. Or we'll selectively hand out executive user classes. Now these are decisions, these are business decisions. I can help you with them, but ultimately you need to make them up for yourself. Okay. Is there anyone else who we would want to add to executive class?
Okay. Colleen.
Colleen.
Okay.
C-O-L-L. Scroll down, executive user, bada bing. Now Colleen has 60 minutes of story, and her messages are no longer deleted, if she reads them. Unread messages are never deleted, ever, even in any class. Click on save. There we go. I think you'd be able to do most of the administrative tasks within Compiler on a basic level. No first day. Mm-hmm. John, do you have a list of a few things you'd like your crew to do before Friday?
Yeah.
Or could you make up a list?
Well, we get those people that move.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of unassigned mailboxes because we didn't know what scientists were sitting where. All that kind of stuff.
Great. I want you to throw them at it. Even if you feel that they don't really get the training for it, let them try to figure it out, like they do everything else.
Yeah.
And then when it comes down to Friday, I want everyone to have a pile of questions. So what did this happen? Why did this happen? What's this? And if we have those questions, we can make a productive session.
Okay. On the main screen, what was the application builder?
Aha! Thank you. Oh, by the way, application builder. Okay, so application builder is not installed on this PC. Please install and try again. What it does is it links you to a Visio-like program,
okay. And
you're able to click on blocks, drag and drop, and you'll be able to control call flow within an application.
Okay.
For like, Mac Builder, for AutoTennis.
How much can we do with that? Like, could we do some? Here's a scenario. Could we do something like, you know, hit 9 to make a credit card purchase? They enter a phone number,
yes.
And we make an ODBC connection off to a remote database.
There is a hit 9, yes.
Okay.
However, that feature you're asking for is HTTPS, and what it does is it transmits collected digits to a Windows application.
To an arbitrary Windows application?
Correct. And that feature isn't available on CallPilot. That's a separate product.
Oh.
Now, what Steve has been thinking about is using an auto-attendant, having people through dial or call transfer. So hit 5 to enter our credit card payment program. Then the call will then be transferred to his program and his computer. And then he'll be able to collect digits, examine passwords, look up entries in the database, and then accept payments or accept entries. CallPilot is not built for that. There are other applications, IVR, Interactive Voice Response Systems, that you can purchase from Nortel or from third-party companies. And then they would take over the back and forth.
So can we go on Friday, can we go through setting up an extension to push to the BRI so that I can basically, once I have an actual thoughts, I can do that?
No. And what we'll do...
Actually, we still have some VIPs that are planning.
Okay.
So that's part of the regular as well.
Okay.
What we can do is, instead of pushing it to a... We'll just take it from one set to another set, and we'll pretend that you're PC'ing the phone set. And it'll take us minutes, less than minutes. Yeah. How do you call transfer? How do you through dial? How do you, and it's Visio, click and drag. And save, register to a number, and then we're done. Yeah. There is a PC, I'm sorry, there's a CD in the collection where Application Builder or Application List can install. Perhaps before I go, I can work with Don to get that CD we can install here. Basically, it's a one file executable, installs the application, and then you can, this link will work.
So one more thing we had today, and that would be the menu system. How you change that?
Actually, if you want to install a CD now, then we can get into menu system to browse through application.
That was it?
Yeah.
So how did that do it in this one?
Through Application Builder.
It's probably used to better PC.
PC. PC. That's where it's already loaded.
And I think the bigger question really for us is how to break out what menus we want and all that.
You'll see that coming up with a business rule will take far longer than clicking and dragging the blocks and connecting them and making it look neat and commenting the code.
Well, one of the things we've noticed is that, so just the way we had the menus broken down, one person was getting calls that shouldn't really on the reception.
Oh, yeah.
Is it like, I don't know why, I mean, it's only two menu levels deep, but people were getting lost, which seems bizarre.
Yeah, that does seem bizarre.
Is our directory reprogrammed as well?
The directory is actually based on the user list that you have here.
Okay, because I tried to enter someone's last name and I could not get through them. Rebecca Rutherford. I kept telling her they did not exist, and then the system started hanging up on me, and I would call back.
But it's probably not mad at you, right?
I got mad at
you. So can I organize in a... Nope. Rutherford. Thank you. I do know how to spell sometimes, but not all the time.
Not there.
Okay, so she is not actually actually in the system, so she might have not missed.
Does she have a phone?
She does have a phone. She has an extension 6092.
Yeah.
Accounting person.
Her name comes up when I dial her.
Okay. So, do you see the difference here? The name is here, that's a voicemail, and that, if you wanted to change that, that's...
This is OTM, right? Oh, I see.
So I'm going to change that now for you. Accounting person.
I see.
Is that the correct spot?
Yes.
Rutherford, like that?
Yeah.
So I'll see.
Excellent.
And now you'll be able to name
stuff. Not from the director of the name.
That's right. That's great. And we could try that right now. How would I know what to dial if I were in extension here? Well, you've got your out-of-town on 7600.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for calling the Perimeter Institute. If you have any permanent extension, please enter it at any time. Otherwise, please press 1 for a company directory. Start entering the last name. For Q, press S. Continue steps. 8. Call it. Rebecca Rutherford, extension 609.
No. It's just for phones. Just for a phone set plumbing, for name displays on phones, but anything you want to use as an application or a mailbox or a password, that's called up. There's this.
Never the two shown over there.
Correct. Well, just when you're dialing through to one. Yeah. Right? You need the phone to get to the application. So I hope you guys learned something out of all that horrible humor.
Very good.
Sure enough.
Sure enough, yeah.